We are continuing our series on Armed and Dangerous, and the theme of this is talking about spiritual warfare. And so we want to get into some of these things. So if you want to turn with me, well, before I get into the Word, let me show you this one more time. Again, I don't like to use somebody's content without giving them credit. And so I want to give credit to Pastor Rick Renner. And so if you don't have this book, I strongly encourage you to get this book. It's absolutely awesome. And he's a great man of God, a Greek scholar. And so that's really why I lean so much on his material, is because of his knowledge of the Greek. But that all being said, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. I want to read 13 through 18, which talk about the armor of God. And that's predominantly what we've been covering on Wednesday nights. So let's begin in verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And so we've been talking about the whole armor of God. We've listed for you in past lessons the seven pieces of armor that are mentioned in this chapter. We've gone into great detail on almost all of them. We're almost done with them. And so Paul says we need to take it up. We need to put it on. Why? So that we'll be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Okay, so the purpose of the armor of God is for us to be able to stand. Now somebody says, well, what's an evil day? Well, I know you've had one. We've all had an evil day. And really basically what that is when you have an opportunity to stand against the efforts of the enemy coming into our lives, his attacks, the things that he tries to do, that I would consider that to be an evil day. And so what Paul tells us is, he says, having done all, stand. And so then he goes on in verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, or what he's talking about there is the loin belt that the Roman soldiers would wear, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You need to put on your shoes. We talked about that last time we were together, a couple of weeks ago. And then he says in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Lastly, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So I wanted to take that time. We've been breaking it down piece by piece, looking at it. We talked about the loin belt. We've talked about the breastplate of righteousness. We talked about having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. All of these are in past lessons. All of those notes are out online. Incidentally, tonight's notes are online already. So if you missed something, don't worry about it. You can go back out there and get it. And then what we want to talk about tonight is in verse 16, he says this, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you shall be able, or will be able, to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So we want to talk tonight about the shield of faith. Now, if you'll remember, we talked about the first piece, which was the most critical, and that was that loin belt. Paul said, having your loins girt about with truth. And so really what the loin belt is all about is having the Word of God being the foundation. Now, in studying the Roman armor, one thing that we learned is all of it is connected. So the loin belt was crucial to everything that the soldier would put on. All the other pieces were connected to it in some way. And we said that because this is the loin belt of truth, it is the written Word of God. So everything starts and ends with the Word of God. So we need to understand that. All the other pieces hinge upon the Word of God. You can't have the breastplate of righteousness without the Word of God. You can't have the sword of the Spirit without the Word of God. All of those things are contingent upon the Word. So let's start talking about the shield of faith. So here's the first thing I want you to see. And again, you can write these things down. And if I go through it too fast, don't worry about it. But your faith is attached to the Word of God. So you are not going to be able to have the shield of faith working in your life without the Word of God. Now, why this is so important to note this is because if you'll remember early on when we were talking about, and I should have put the picture of the soldier back up for you. I'll show you one in a little bit, a little different, but the shield would actually connect to that loin belt. And so the shield of faith, is directly connected to the Word of God. And so what we need to understand is that if the loin belt is representative of the written Word of God, then of course the faith, the shield of faith, is directly connected to that. So look at this. The presence or absence of faith is determined by the presence or absence of God's Word. And so, you know what, when you see somebody operating in great faith, then I can promise you there's a great presence of the Word of God there. If you see somebody that struggles in operating in faith and believing God, I can tell you, and I don't mean this as a criticism, it's just a fact, that if they're struggling in their faith, I can promise you there's an absence of the Word of God. Faith and the Word of God are inseparable. They go together. They go hand in hand. And let me say this. It's unscriptural for you to pray for more faith. Okay? To ask God, give me faith. All right? The Bible says, and I didn't put it in the lesson, but Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 says that He has dealt to everyone the measure of faith. Now, some translations say a measure. Some translations say the measure. I believe the measure is the most accurate, because if you say a measure, then that means God gave Jeff more than He gave me and gave Linda more than both of us, and so it's not fair. God has dealt to everyone the same potential. We all start with the same playing field, the same potential. And so whether you have strong faith or not is more dependent on you than it is on God. Okay? Because we have the option to be able to develop our faith. So again, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Well, let me read this to you. The Word of God is central and foremost to everything else that we have in God. Now, let me say this to you. I learned early on in my walk with the Lord, and especially in ministry, that you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, must put a premium on the Word of God. It has to come before everything else in your walk with the Lord. Because a lot of times what people do is they will base their Christian walk on their experience and not on the Word of God. And what happens is people can have some weird experiences that weren't God at all. Okay? You know, and so when you base your Christian walk on your experience and not on the Word, you're going to get off course. I can promise you. You know, especially if you base your faith and your walk with Jesus on how you feel. Oh, I don't feel saved today. Well, I do feel saved today. I went to church yesterday. I feel good. No, it can't be based on that. It's got to be based on the Word of God. So the Word says that I'm right with God, even whether I feel like it or not. The Bible says, the Word says, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, whether I feel like I am or not. So you have to make the decision early on that you're going to base your walk and your belief system on the Word of God. So the Word has to be central and foremost. In other words, here's the Word, and the rest of your life revolves around the Word. Okay? So then, How does faith come? So if we don't pray for it, then how does it come? Well, Romans 10, 17. You know this verse. So then faith comes how? By hearing and what? Hearing what? The Word of God. Now, in this verse, it doesn't say this. Faith comes by having heard. Okay? Oh, yeah, Pastor, I heard that years ago. Okay, well, that's great that you heard that years ago, but are you hearing it now? Really, this is in the Greek language, it's in the continual sense. Faith comes as we continually hear and hear and hear. You know, so we never get beyond hearing the Word of God. We need to be constantly feeding on the Word all the time. And so your ability, my ability, to walk in the knowledge of who you are in Christ hinges entirely on the Word of God. So if you need more peace in your life, it's going to your peace level is going to be determined by your Word level. Your relationships, the quality of your relationships. I can promise you, you're not walking in the love of God any greater to the degree that the Word of God is in your heart. It's all contingent and based on the Word. All right, so if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, then we can say this. Faith is a result of the impartation of God's Word into the human heart. Okay? So faith, when the Word is being preached, and it doesn't matter if it's live or, a podcast or however, you know, all the different mediums that we have today, if you're hearing the Word of God, the potential for faith to come into your heart is always there. Always, always, always. You know, I hear people say, well, you know, I heard somebody preach the word and I didn't get anything out of it. Well, that's not the word's fault. Okay, if they were really preaching the word, that's not the word's fault. Now listen, I've heard some messages that weren't word. Okay, and you don't get anything out of stuff that's Reader's Digest and opinions and all that kind of stuff. But if the word is being preached, the potential for faith is present. All right? So that all being said, I wanted you to kind of get that little synopsis of faith real quick, because as we're talking about the shield of faith, it's important that you have a working knowledge of faith. And so let's begin talking about the shield of faith. All right? So the Roman soldier possessed two types of shields. All right? And I'm going to give you the Greek words, and then we'll talk about the meaning. The first one is the aspis shield, which would look like this. Okay, it was a round shield that they carried. However, this was not functional at all. There was only one reason that they carried this particular shield, and it was for show. It was for parades. It was for, if there was a great ceremony going on or anything like that, the Roman soldiers would carry this smaller round shield simply because it was easier to maneuver, as you can see. And so the other thing that I liked about this drawing, you remember us talking about the greaves that they wore, the shield that were part of the shoes? Well, you can see the greaves on these particular shoulders. See the soldiers, you can see the metal things around their calves and all of that. That's the greaves that they would wear. So the aspis was the smaller round shield that was just simply for decoration. So as you see in this picture, they would be highly decorated, painted. You would see them in all different colors and all of that because it was all about show. Now, there was a second type of shield that the soldiers would carry, and that was called the thurios. The thurios was a larger shield, and it's actually translated, the word translated is the Greek word door. Now, the reason it's translated door is because the shield that they would carry was as big as a door. And it served a greater purpose, and this is actually the shield that they would carry when they went into battle. By the way, this shield, all right, anybody seen Captain America? Okay, Captain America carried an aspis, not a thurios. All right, so just so you know, the little round shield that he carried. All right, so that is the difference between these, and these shields were huge, okay? Here's a picture to kind of give you an idea of how big those shields were. Now, here's why it's so important to understand the difference between the two. When Paul was writing Ephesians chapter 6, he did not refer to the aspis shield. He referred to the thurios shield. Okay, so he referred to the larger of the shield, of course, writing under the direction of the Holy Spirit, because he wanted us to get a pure picture of what faith is and how it works in our lives. See, faith, having faith in God's Word is not about show. It's not about putting on a parade. It's about functionality. It's about what's going to protect you when the enemy comes. It's about having some type of purpose to work in your life. Now, like a wide and long shield, the faith God has given you is adequate to cover every need and that could ever arise in your life. So as you see in this particular shield here, notice that when they all banded together, it became a wall, basically, to protect them. It could protect them in the front. It could protect them overhead. It could protect them in the back. And I don't know if you can see this or not, but the soldiers on the side there have actually turned, and so it provided protection all the way around. And so your faith serves this exact purpose. It is able to cover you in every situation, everything that goes on in your life. So God has given you enough faith through His Word to cover every need or battle. So listen, here's my point in saying this. Now, we all need to feed on the Word of God so our faith can develop and our faith can grow. But here's what, I never want you to get into a crisis situation and think you don't have enough faith. Jesus said this. He said, if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, it is more than enough. It's not about the quantity, it's about the quality of your faith. And so God's Word will go to work into our lives to build that faith, to develop it. But what I want you to see is that this shield is such an accurate representation. Now, let me paint the picture a little further for you. This shield, let me put the picture up so you can see it. This shield is actually made, it looks like it's wood or something. It's actually not. It was made up of multiple layers of leather that were bound together. Usually a minimum of 6 layers of leather that were tightly woven together. They were woven so tightly that they almost became as strong as steel. Now, this is really cool, and I love this because you're gonna be excited about this part. All right, the soldier's shield was made of the animal's hide, and therefore it became extremely strong and exceptionally long lasting and hard wearing. In other words, you know, metal wasn't as available back then as it is now, obviously, but this material, they could shape it, they could do whatever they needed to do to make it durable. So, again, your faith is extremely tough and exceptionally durable. We have a misconception sometimes. Your faith is not as fragile as you might think it is. You know, God, the faith, the quality of the faith of God that we have is extremely durable, more so than you ever realized, okay? Here's how long it is. No matter how long the enemy comes against you, your faith can handle it. Here's what happens. It's not that your faith gives out, it's that you give out. We quit. Your faith doesn't quit, okay? So here's the point. As long as you stay in the battle, your faith can do its job. Your faith can do its job. No matter how hard and how long the enemy beats against your faith can outlast his attack. Now, there was a principle. So when you go back and you look at this shield, there was something that the soldier had to do. Now, each soldier was responsible to take care of that shield in a very careful way. And let me describe this to you. Every day, the soldier would wake up every morning and would reach for his shield and a small vial of oil. And what they would do is they would take a piece of cloth and they would saturate it with that oil and they would thoroughly massage that oil into the shield every day. And what they would do is that they would massage it into that leather and they would keep it soft, they would keep it pliable so that it would do its purpose. Now, without proper care, and if you've ever seen a belt do this, the leather would become hard, stiff, and brittle. And what would happen over time, it would become hardened, and when it was put under pressure, it would crack and fall to pieces. Now, here's what's really cool. Proper care of this shield could make the difference of life and death for this soldier. So he was responsible every day to get up and massage that oil into that shield so that the shield did not crack, it didn't become brittle, because here's what he needed it to do when he was in battle, and particularly if he was in hand-to-hand combat and his enemy came against him. And you remember we talked about the battle axes that the enemies would use? If they came and they pounded on that shield, he could not afford for that shield to break up and fall apart because he had not taken care of it. And so he had to daily apply this oil to it. Now, if the Roman soldier wanted to live a long life, listen to this, it was imperative for him to pick up that vial and apply the oil to his shield every single day of his military life. Now, here's where the revelation is. Because the shield is representative of our faith, Paul used this analogy because he needed this analogy to tell us that our faith requires frequent anointings of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Here's what happens. You see, Christians, they hear the Word, they feed upon the Word, they get faith in their hearts, but because they have no fresh anointings, they don't have any oil of the Holy Spirit flowing in their lives, what happens is the Word becomes law to them. and their faith becomes brittle and begins to fall apart. The Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, there's liberty. And what happens is, if you take the Word without the Holy Spirit, the Word will become bondage to you. Because here's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit mixes grace, mercy, and other elements with the Word that keep it life-filled. See, if we got up in our church and all we did was preach the Word and we didn't have grace and mercy and the love of God applied to it, it would sooner or later become bondage to you. But what happens is the Holy Spirit shows up and ministers to us, and the oil that He provides keeps that Word fresh and alive and keeps your faith alive at the same time. So here's and I love this. This is why it's so important for you and me to have a worship and prayer life, because you need daily fellowship with the Holy Spirit so that the oil can keep your faith supple. It can keep it where it's not dried out and brittle. It keeps it alive. And it's so, so important. And we'll talk a little bit more on how do you do that, but this is crucial, okay? So without a constant fresh touch of the Holy Spirit's power on your life, your faith and my faith will become hard. So faith that is ignored nearly always breaks and falls into pieces during a confrontation with the enemy. You know, if you see somebody that starts out with strong faith and, you know, they're faced with a battle, and we all do, but they're faced with a battle, and you see them sometimes get into the fight and all of a sudden they fall apart. A lot of times it has to do with the fact that either they quit or they weren't spending time and allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to them and keep that oil going in their lives. And so I love the fact that the Holy Spirit led Paul to talk about this and put it in this context so that we could understand it. So play it safe. Here's my advice to you. Play it safe and assume that your faith always needs a fresh anointing, because I promise you it does. Okay? By taking this approach, if you base it on this assumption, you will always seek to do what is necessary to keep your faith alive, active, and well. You know, I know how my faith does. And when I say faith, I'm talking about my belief system. Particularly if I have released my faith, I've prayed for something, and I'm standing in faith on God's Word for something, I know what begins to happen to me if I go a period of time without spending time in prayer and worship. Pretty soon, my faith begins to weaken. And so this is so, so very important. Now, how do we do this? Well, very practically, we do it by going to the great anointer and spending time in prayer and worship, allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to us. As I was meditating and thinking about this today, I just was prompted in my heart to tell you what I do. I'm just telling you what I do. I'm not saying you have to do what I do. I'm just telling you this is what I do. So my prayer time at home, most of the time it's at home, looks something like this. I get up about 11 o'clock in the morning. No, I'm just kidding. I don't get up that late. Jeff wanted my schedule, don't you? But no, I get up and usually, you know, I'll fix my coffee or whatever, and I have a bedroom that's, you know, I've made into a study, and so I'll go into my study, and I usually will put on some music. First of all, I love music. I'm a musician anyway, but music helps create the environment. Now, I will say this, okay? Maybe you're different. I'm going to say for me. It does not work if I put on a lot of upbeat praise music. Okay? I need something a little more subdued, a little more quiet. What I do is this isn't a push or advertisement, free advertisement, but I use Spotify, and you can go on Spotify and you can search for worship music. You can even search for prayer music, and they have prayer music on there, instrumental stuff that you can use, that you can find. And so what I do is I'll put that on, then I start out and I'll do my Bible reading. I read, I do the 1-year Bible, so I'll read from that first. I read a chapter of Proverbs every year, I mean every day. And so so I do that, and then I just spend some time thinking about that. And then what God has led me to do recently, like within the last month, is He's brought me back to some things to where He just laid it on my heart to spend 30 minutes every morning praying in other tongues. So I spend 30 minutes praying in the Spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's some mornings where the time goes like this. There's other mornings where it seems like an eternity. But I promise you, press your way through it. Now, here's something. I struggled with this at first. And not that the obedience part, I wanted to do it. But I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I need some help. Because listen, there have been times in my life where I've spent 6 and 8 hours praying in the Spirit, okay? But it just seems like sometimes, and this was one of those times where it had just been a struggle for me. And, you know, I, to be honest with you, didn't feel like doing it. Do you ever have to do some stuff you don't feel like doing? Okay. Thank you for me and Reggie. We don't feel like doing some stuff sometimes. But the rest of you, pray for us, please. But I remember something, and I had been talking to the Lord about this. And I walked in that Saturday morning of the Priscilla Shire simulcast. And right from the get-go, she started out talking about some stuff. And it was Jesus talking to me. I don't know, how many of you were here and you heard that? You remember how she was talking about the example from the Karate Kid? And you remember Mr. Miyagi comes out and you know, what's his face? What was Ralph Macchio's character? Anyway, huh? Okay, huh? Daniel-san, that's right. So Daniel comes and he wants to be taught karate. You know, he got his tail whooped by those other boys, and so now he wants to learn karate. So he comes over to Mr. Miyagi's house, and so Mr. Miyagi takes him out back, and I forgot what he had him do first. I forgot if it was wax the cars and then paint the fence, huh? It was wax on. So what he does is he says, well, I want you to wash and wax my car. Daniel says, no problem. And so he takes him out front, and there's like 10 cars sitting out there. And so he works all day, but he can't do it just any kind of way. It's got to be wax on, wax off. Y'all remember that? Okay. So after about the first car, Daniel's getting very frustrated. He's like, I don't understand this. I don't know why I have to do this, blah, blah, blah. So he finishes all of that. The next day he goes over there. Mr. Miyagi has him gives him a can of stain and wants him to stain his fence. And you remember how he says, up, down, up, down. So he tells him how to do the brush that way. And so Daniel's, he looks around and the whole yard is fenced in with this fence. So he has to do the whole fence, backside and inside. Takes him all day long. So he's absolutely wore out. So the next day he comes over, and Mr. Miyagi says, I want you to sand the deck that he had out there, the patio thing. And so Daniel starts out, and it was, you know, sand, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so finally, Daniel just loses it. And he says, I don't understand why I have to do this. And so, you remember, I don't know if you remember this, but Mr. Miyagi stands in front of him and throws a punch at him, and all of a sudden Daniel's able to deflect the punch. And all of a sudden it clicks for him why he was having to do something that he did not enjoy nor feel like doing. And all of a sudden that came to my thinking when Priscilla talked about that, and it was like I heard Jesus say, up, down, about the prayer thing. And so what was happening is God is working with me and getting me, I don't know if there's going to be something, a punch thrown or anything like that, but here's the thing. Sometimes you have to do stuff like that. Jesus has to teach you to do some stuff that is uncomfortable, out of your comfort zone, and you don't feel like doing because you need to know how to do it. Okay? And this is where I was as far as praying in other tongues is concerned. Like I said, I've been praying in other tongues for 41 years. Okay? So it's nothing new, but for some reason it was difficult this time. And so ever since that Saturday when the Lord had her say that, I was like, okay, so I got it. And so whether I feel like doing it or not, I'm doing it. And, you know, so It's one of those things, and so that I spend that time. Do I always feel something? Most of the time, I do not. Most of the time, I don't feel a thing. But here's what I do know. Two verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says this, "He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God, because in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." See, there's a code language that God and I have that we can talk to each other in that nobody can understand, not even me, but I'm talking directly to Him as the Spirit leads me. There's another verse in chapter 14 that says this, that he who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. See, I may only be doing it for 30 minutes, but I'm building myself up. I'm building myself up. I'm charging my spirit like a battery. And so whether I feel something or not, here's my point, whether I enjoy doing it or not all the time, here's the point, I have to believe that there is something the Holy Spirit is putting oil on that shield for me. He is causing a refreshing, an anointing to come upon my life that would not be there if I was not doing that. Are you listening to me? All right, now here's the next part. There was another reason that the soldier's shield was made of leather. Before the soldier went out to war, so let's say that they're encamped, they're all together. They know that they're going out to war the next day, or maybe this is in the evening before the next morning that they're going out. What they would do is they would take that entire shield and they would place it in a tub of water and let it soak all night long. Now somebody said, well, if it has the oil in it, the water's not going to soak into it. I understand. But here's what they were after, is letting the water soak into it as much as they could. Here's why. Because they knew their enemy used arrows and darts that had fire on them. And here's, have you ever been out on the, maybe, you know, and I know we're real careful about this, but on the driveway where maybe your car has leaked some oil? You ever gone out there after it rained? It's like ice. Okay? Why? Because oil and water don't mix. But what happens is you get that oiled surface wet, stuff has a hard time sticking to it. So their thought was that sometimes if there were arrows that were shot at them, the oil and the water would keep the arrows from being able to even penetrate the shield. Now, even when dangerous flaming arrows hit their targets, the wet surface of the shield would extinguish the flame on impact. Okay? The water saturated the shields, gave the soldier the upper hand in battle by putting out the enemy's fire. So here's what we have. We have a shield that is saturated. It's been, oil has been put into it. And so now we've got it soaked in water, and let me show you why. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 and 26. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. How? That he might, or why? That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. If you want your shield to be effective, you not only have to have daily oil, you got to have some daily water going into that shield as well. Look at this. We must make certain that we're allowing the Holy Spirit to freshly anoint our lives on a daily basis as we regularly saturate our faith with the water of the Word of God. It takes both. We have to have both. So we see that in order for that Roman soldier to keep their shield in top-notch condition and effective in battle, it was required that their shield had daily applications of both the oil and the water. It's great that you pray, it's great that you worship, but you also need the Word every single day. Are you listening to me? Okay, so look at this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, going back to the verse, I want to break it down a little bit, give you some details, so track along with me here. Ephesians 6:16 says this, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, what we have done is sometimes we preachers, we have mistakenly taught this to mean that the shield of faith was the most important piece of armor that you had. That is wrong. It is not the most important piece of armor that you had. Somebody take a guess and tell me what you think is the most important piece of all the armor that we're talking about here. What do you think? Okay. Hurt salvation. Okay. Y'all give up? Okay. What? Turn your microphones up just a little bit. Nope. Say it again, Annie. Yeah, it's the Word of God. The Word is the most important piece that you could put on. So that being said, what does it mean? Why did Paul write above all? Well, the Greek for above all is the Greek phrase epipassin. Epipassin. And it means this, over everything. Not above or more important than everything. It literally can be translated this, out in front of all. So what you did is you had all the other pieces on, which of course the Word is most important, but that shield is what went out front. Okay? See, this describes, when Paul said above all, it describes position, not importance. Okay? So what does that mean? Faith is designed to be out front where it can completely cover you in every situation in life. I want to say this to you. Whatever you do in life, do it by faith. Don't ever have an area of your life where you're not using your faith. Have faith working in every area of your life, okay? So that it's always out there in front. All right, so let me pick up the pace just a little bit. Let's go back to Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith. The word taking there is very important. Now, somebody said, why are you going through all this detail? Because it's important. We need to understand. And because you and I are not Greek, we cannot get it just by glossing over the surface of this. So he said, above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, the Greek word for taking is the Greek word analambano. And it means this, to take something up in hand or to pick it up again. The reason Paul wrote this by the Holy Spirit is because it is possible for you to lay your faith down, and you always need to do, if that happens, pick it back up. Pick it back up. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life, and I'm not talking about my relationship with Jesus, but there have been times when I've been believing God for something, and because it didn't happen as quickly as I thought, or maybe it wasn't happening like I thought it should, or whatever, I laid my faith down. Or maybe another way to get the same result came up, so I laid my faith down. Paul is telling you, he says, above all, pick it up again. So if you find yourself in a situation where you have laid your faith down, pick it back up. Let me show you 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you so that by recalling them you may fight the battle well. Look at this. Holding on to faith. Don't let go of your faith. Don't lay it down. And a good conscience, why? Why? What happens when you lay your faith down? Having some which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. There has not been one instance where I have laid my faith down and it came out like God wanted it to. It doesn't work that way. All right? So he's telling us, pick your faith back up. Pick it back up. Pick that shield back up. All right? Let's go back to Ephesians 6:16 again. Above all, taking the shield of faith, look at this, with which you will be able. Now, what's so cool about this phrase is, all of those words in the English is one word in the Greek, dunamis. Anybody know what dunamis means? The power of God. See, when you pick up the shield of faith, and it's not just power, it's the power of God that goes to work. It tells us when we have the shield of faith in front of us, and it's anointed by the Holy Spirit, it's saturated with the Word of God, that positions you to move in God's explosive and dynamic power. In other words, there's something that happens. God's power is able to show up and go to work. Power and faith working together in your life will spiritually equip you to hold your position. Sometimes I think we quit because we don't have any power working in our lives. We're trying to do it in our own strength. You know, listen, there are going to be times when you can't squeeze up enough guts. You're going to have some supernatural help. And so that's what this does. And so it makes that power available so that we can hold our position against the enemy. And here's what faith, you remember the soldiers, they all had the shields up. The reason that they do that is so the enemy can't get to them. There's going to be some blows you're going to prevent from happening in your life as long as you keep that shield up. All right, so let's look at the last part. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, I know in our culture or in modern times, when you say dart, you know what we think of. Those little things are about this long. And you throw them at the pub or whatever, and that's not what he's talking about. The word dart there is actually the word arrow. Now, there were three different types of arrows that most armies would use in this day. There was a regular arrow, which was very similar to what we use today with just the feathers and the point on it. Then there was an arrow, and again, I started to show it, but I decided not to. I would point you to the first 30 minutes of the movie Gladiator again, because I don't know if you remember in that battle scene where the Roman soldiers are arrayed and they're getting ready to fight the Germanians, and they tell them to ignite their arrows. And what they do is they would dig a little trench in the dirt and they would pour tar in that trench and they would light the tar on fire. And then their arrows would have, sometimes they would make leather parts, sometimes it would have something that tar could stick to. They'd stick the end of that arrow into that flaming tar and they'd bring it up, and that's what they would shoot at the enemy. That was one type of arrow. So, and then the third type was they had ingeniously figured out how to use hollow reeds to make arrows out of, and they would fill it with combustible material so that when they would shoot it at their enemy, it would, the tip may be on fire, but when it would make contact with whatever it was that they were trying to hit, the whole thing would ignite, and therefore it would cause a great fire. It would be very similar. I don't know if you saw on the news. I mean, it's not funny, but it to me, it's kind of humorous. This past week in Israel, the news was reporting that Hamas has gone to a new technique in trying to terrorize the Israelis. And so what they're doing is they're lighting kites on fire, letting them fly up and then land in people's fields and stuff so they can burn their houses down and stuff. When they were finding out that wasn't working, they started using balloons with Molotov cocktails tied to the bottom of it so that it would fly over and then make contact and explode. Similar type thought that these arrows would do. So when Paul talks about what are the fiery darts that the enemy would be shooting at you, it you have to think that. He's not after the little pinprick. He is after causing great destruction in your life. So what he is after is to shoot arrows into your life that once they make contact with your mind, your will, or your emotions, can cause a great fire and get you to respond. You remember, where's the battlefield? In your mind. What he's tried, that's why those people just out of nowhere will be rude to you. Because he's trying to shoot an arrow into your emotions to get you to respond because of the fire that they've caused. And so what Paul says is that this shield is able to quench all the fiery arrows of the wicked one. So when you have your shield soaked in oil and the word, those arrows cannot penetrate. When you have your shield up, those fiery darts, cannot, they'll be deflected. But even if it does make contact, there is something supernatural about that shield that it is able to put out the fire that the enemy tries to bring up. You know why sometimes we struggle with temptation? It's because we don't use the shield. The enemy tries to shoot those arrows of temptation into our life, and for some reason we think we can go about it some other way than what God has ordained, and so what we do is we end up giving in to the temptation. I'm here to tell you that this verse says that if you will use the shield of faith like God intended for you to use, it will quench all of those arrows. Quench means put them out. It'll stop them from being able to fulfill their purpose. And so God has given us equipment to be able to do this. So let me wrap it up by saying this. By keeping your shield of faith anointed with the oil of the Holy Spirit and saturated with the word, water of the Word, you will ensure that every fiery dart the enemy launches against you will miserably fail. Every one of them. Every one of them. So God has given us this awesome armor, and especially this piece, to be able to use. So I wanted to go into that detail so you could understand that, because, you know, I know what we think. Without the information, we think it's just, you know, we're standing there with a little shield and, you know, like the coyote and the roadrunner, and we're supposed to deflect what the enemy's doing. It's not that way at all. If you learn how to use the shield, man, I'm telling you, the enemy cannot permeate your life. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word that we've heard tonight. Father, I thank you so much for the armor that you have given to us. Thank you that it is powerful. Thank you, Lord, that it is anointed. And Father, I pray for myself and each and every one that's here, Father, that we would take these things to heart, that we would obey, that, Father, we would saturate our lives with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the oil of your Spirit. Father, that we would saturate our lives with the water of your Word, and that, Father, in Jesus' name, we would put that shield in front of us and we would stand in faith on your Word. And, Father, I believe that when we do that, there is nothing that the enemy can do. There is nothing that he can bring against us that we will not be able to overcome in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we believe that. We thank you for it. Father, we thank you for our time together tonight. Father, I pray that the things that we've talked about tonight would just resonate in each and every one of our hearts and wouldn't be something that we've just heard on Wednesday night. But, Lord, let it ring into our spirits for the next few days. And, Father, I thank you for it. Lord, we love you. We give you praise for all that you have done and are doing in our lives. And as we leave here tonight, Lord, thank you for protecting each and every one, keeping us safe. Thank you for a great rest of the week. And we love you, Jesus, and we give you praise in your precious name. Amen. Amen.